All right. Well, welcome back. It's good to see
you again.
We're back
again, yeah.
Yes, back in the saddle. So for those of you who maybe missed us from earlier, I am Christopher Harrison.
John Galloway.
That's John Galloway. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and wherever else it is that you might be.
It was very interesting on the chat before the call. We got people staying, it's the middle of the night, people in Malaysia, all over the world.
This I know, it's really crazy. That's always the fun part about this. Yeah. So, but in the meantime, this is introduction to ASP.NET MVC.
Yep.
What we're going to do is kind of introduce ourselves. I'm apparently going to bring up my start menu. There we go. but we're going to introduce ourselves. We're going to kind of talk a little bit about, well, what we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. And then we're actually going to talk about it, which I think is
that's a good game plan.
Fantastic. Hey. So with that, John, if you want to introduce yourself.
Sure. My name is John Galloway. I've been at Microsoft 4.5 years now. They haven't got rid of me yet. I am I'm an Azure technical evangelist, but I mostly focus on ASP.NET MVC.
Yep.
I just finished up updates for the Rocks MVC 5 book, so really excited about that. So that's definitely something I spend a lot of time on. And I have a podcast, and I'm happy to be here.
Excellent. Well, that works out well because I'm kind of happy to be here as well. As it says on the slide there, I am Christopher Harrison. I was an MCT for many moons. Presented at a good number of conferences, and right about literally 3 weeks ago, I actually got started here at the mothership, as it were. They offered me a position, and I couldn't refuse. So I've been onboarded as a content developer for Microsoft Learning Experiences. Now, as far as the course itself goes, this is basically going to be our next 6 hours. 8 hours, I guess, will be the total time. 6 hours probably recorded. This is what we're going to be covering. So we're going to start with the basics of MVC, kind of talk about the different moving parts, what this is all about. And then in modules 2, 4, and 5, dig into the M, dig into the C, and dig into the V, and talk about each one of those different things. Talk about our models, talk about our controllers, talk about our views. In the middle there, we'll go ahead and introduce Visual Studio and talk about all the cool things that Visual Studio can do for you. Because one of the things that I find when people make the move into MVC, especially if they're coming from web forms, they look at that and they go, oh my gosh, that's a lot of code. How about, you know, drag and drop? How about code generation? So we'll talk about a lot of the different things that Visual Studio can do for you. Mm-hmm. And then we're also going to take a good look at both Bootstrap and Identity. Identity, of course, came along with MVC 5. Bootstrap was fully integrated with Visual Studio 2013. And really kind of see how you can incorporate a little bit of additional security and then get a very nice look and feel to your sites. And then finally, since this is designed to be an intro course, we're going to take a look at sort of what your next steps are. So if this is your first real big experience taking a look at MVC, you're going to leave here feeling, okay, well, all of that was cool and I learned an awful lot, but you know, where should I go from here? And so we're going to talk about exactly that at the end.
Can we cut over to mine real quick?
Yeah.
I thought this was really interesting. We brought up a poll and we asked for different people's experience level. And so we got a, let me see, 18% beginning developer.
Yep.
10% experience with HTML, but new to .NET.
Okay.
12% were experienced .NET developers, but new to web forms. So maybe back-end coders or desktop, you know.
Uh-huh. Then
30% experience with web forms, but new to MVC.
Mm-hmm.
28% were some experience with MVC, but wanted to learn more. And 2% were Lion Tamers.
Well, that's interesting. Lion Tamer is a big audience for us. So I'm actually kind of surprised to see the number being that low.
Right.
Yeah. You know, So I really thought we had that audience locked up. But in any event, the real takeaway from all of that is the fact that we've got a lot of people out there that are relatively new to MVC and relatively new to kind of all of this, which is fantastic. Bringing that into setting expectations is exactly what we're geared towards. That what we're really looking for is to try and connect with everybody who is relatively brand new. So we expect that you maybe have a little bit of experience with .NET. Maybe you've kind of real quick created an MVC project and went, oh, wow, there's an awful lot of stuff here. What in the world is going on? Mm-hmm. And hopefully we'll be able to help clarify a lot of that. And then in particular, talking to the web form developers that are taking a look at MVC and maybe how that can actually assist them going forward in their different projects.
Right.
Now, as far as kind of if you want to follow along, we will be talking about a GitHub repository a little bit later. We'll actually have that URL. We'll share that out once we actually get some code up there to share. So that way, if you're sitting at home, sitting at the office, and you're wanting access to our source code, you'll be able to get to it pretty quickly, pretty much like right after we check it in, you're going to be able to go ahead and download that. So we're actually very excited about that, which, by the way, all of this is recorded live. This is what's happening now is happening now. So if something goes sideways with GitHub, remember we're going live.
Yeah, we're on the fly.
So yeah, exactly. So here's our right up front apology. Something might go wrong.
You know, it was funny in the last Jumpstart. Yep. We had people didn't believe us that it was live.
Yeah, exactly.
And we had to actually, I forget, we like put up the front page of the newspaper.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. We'll give soccer scores.
Exactly.
Today. Yeah. Or football, depending on where you're from. So in any event, the other real quick thing to mention, and John, I don't know if you want to take 2 seconds and do this, but if you are looking to follow along or looking to maybe just get started, the tool that you are going to need, of course, is Visual Studio.
Mm-hmm. So, can we, I think we're set up now. We can cut to my
screen.
There we go. So if you go to visualstudio.com and you click on free Visual Studio trial, and you can actually, if you logged in as me, you can do that, you know. There's also, you can download, download Visual Studio Express. So Visual Studio Express for web, I think, downloads here. And underneath that, there's Express, and Express for web is the one that you'll want.
Yep.
Express 2013 for web. Completely free. Nobody will ever, it doesn't take any money from you. You know, you put it, you register for it, you download it, you're good to go. And a cool new thing that we just announced is that Web Essentials, which is a nice extension for Visual Studio, is now also, that's completely free and works with Express as well.
So that's awesome.
Great, out of the box, completely free, get started with it, no excuse.
And if you haven't played around with Web Essentials, you're going to be very impressed with it. Yep. It's a neat, neat, neat little tool.
Yep.
Now, let's talk a little bit about MVA, and then we'll kind of launch on into it, because I'm sure you're probably sitting there thinking, hey, guys, get to some code. We want to see code. But before we get into that, just one last little thing here. You are going to notice that, of course, we do have Microsoft Virtual Academy, over 1 million registered users. Actually, I believe that number is now 2 million.
Wow.
It is. Okay. It's being confirmed
pretty
in the
close.
Background here.
Off by a million.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, millions and millions. But anyway, 2 million registered users, which is pretty incredible when you stop and think about it. Of course, you can get points for attending this course. You'll notice the little link to the voucher, and then the voucher code is intro ASP.NET MVC, and that's going to expire 1 month from now.
So people want that voucher code because it's going to get them those 50 points.
Exactly. Okay. That's exactly it. Yep. So what do you say we launch on into
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay. Let's go ahead and talk about the basics of MVC and the different moving parts. So.
Okay, great. So let's cut over to mine. I've got the same slide showing, so I'm not even sure how I'll know if it's going. great. Okay,
there we go.
So we're going to talk, first of all, ASP.NET, just the overview. You know, what is high level, what's there?
Yep.
We'll look at kind of what is the M and the V and the C in MVC, and then finally we'll talk a little bit about what's the point.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing. I get that so frequently. Yep.
Okay, so ASP.NET in general, you may have seen a slide like this over time. The idea is you've got this common core ASP.NET running under everything. And this is handling all your things like caching and security and, you know, actually serving responses out to users and things like that. And then on top of that, at the very top, we've got sites and services. And the idea is that, you know, sites, this is talking about, you know, delivering content to web browsers, HTML, it's forms, people are interacting with it. And then services are things where you're sending, you know, XML or JSON or something other than HTML back and forth.
Right.
And so then kind of the glue that, you know, the different parts that you can use to hook those together are MVC is kind of one of these things in the middle, and it's designed for serving up websites.
Right.
And I think the real point of this here is that it's all the same kind of family.
Yes.
So the idea is if you're familiar with web forms, this isn't something brand new, completely different.
Mm-hmm.
It's all ASP.NET under the hood.
Right.
And the idea now is that you're just kind of, it's a different coding model, but it's running on top of all the same things you're already familiar with.
So a lot of, if you are making that move from web forms, then a lot of what you've already learned is going to be transferable then into MVC, that it is still one ASP.NET to rule them all,
right,
as it were.
And that's gotten even better with the latest release, Visual Studio 2013.
Yes.
We've made, you know, real effort. Probably the biggest web dev feature in Visual Studio 2013 was the idea that it's one ASP.NET, so it's very easy now to say, you know, I'm going to, in one project, have MVC and web forms and SignalR and web API.
Yep.
I'll pick and choose what I'd like.
Exactly.
And probably, you know, that's nice to know you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
But what's even better is to know that even if you've got one, like, let's say you're working completely in MVC for a week, and then you jump over to web forms, identity, you know, the scaffolding, the bootstrap system, all that's the same across them. So you can take your skills and jump between them pretty easily.
And that's a big thing.
Yep. Cool. Okay, so that's kind of where we are looking at with MVC. Now let's talk about specifically what is MVC. So every MVC presentation has to start with some kind of diagram.
Yep.
And I used to always see these, you know, there would be a box with an M and a box with an M, or V and a box with a C and arrows going between them. I never really followed what was going on. So this is my version of that. So the idea looking at specifically what happens when somebody types something into their browser, right? So a request comes in. That gets routed to a controller. Now, this is, you know, first kind of big difference between something like web forms or PHP or, you know, some of these kind of more file-based systems, classic ASP, right? Cold Fusion. And so in those, a request, a URL maps to a file.
Right.
And then the file does something and then returns a response.
Right.
In this case, it's completely different, right? The request comes into a method of a class.
Exactly, yeah. The simplest way that I always like to explain that is that really what's happening is the user is calling a method on a class. That really is it. So unlike in the past, like John mentioned, you're not going to a PHP file, you're not going to an ASPX file, you're calling a method on a class. Now there's a little bit of magic that'll happen, we'll talk a little bit about that later on, how ASP.NET will figure out what method it is that needs to be called. But at the end of the day, that's what it is. So your controller's a class and you're going to be calling a method. And by the way, and this is always my favorite part, is I love that right on there. The controller retrieves the model and does stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, because it's completely open, that controller could be authenticating someone, it could be, you know, anything. It could be doing a database lookup, it could be putting something in a database, it could be creating an image, whatever it is, it does something.
So yep,
that's
does
really
stuff.
But so this is a key thing to you know, it's a key difference. It's also kind of freeing because when I was working with web forms a lot, it was always kind of like, well, a URL comes to a file and that file needs to decide. Here it's like it's a method and that method can make decisions, run logic, very lightweight.
Yeah, that's it. And it makes it so much easier in trying to group things together rather than trying to figure out, okay, well, what am I going to call this page and what am I going to call this page and you know, what's my folder structure going to look like and so forth. Now it's all about just good class design.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yep.
Okay, so we've done some stuff in the controller. A lot of the time, the result of doing something is data.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we process, somebody comes to request a controller action that says, get me a list of users, We're going to be playing with this MVC Music Store sample. And so, you know, maybe get me a list of albums
right.
or artists. And so then that result is the model. So a model is just packaging up some data to ship off to present to the user.
Yep.
So, and we'll be talking about this more later, but this is just a class.
Exactly.
It's just a, here's some stuff and we're packaging it together yep. to send somewhere else.
The one thing, if I can jump in for 2 seconds here, only because somebody had asked the question in the chat window about view models. They asked, you know, is the controller like the view model? If we go back to the slide here real quick, what you're going to notice there is that model. That model could be what's known as a view model, which mm-hmm. is a class, just like John mentioned, but this time specifically geared for MVC. So it's not going to have any logic about how it's connecting out to a database or to a web service. That it is just, hey, this is the data that we want the user to interact with.
And that's a really key point. Great question.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the idea here, the model is not directly hooked up to your database. The model is not, the model could just be a collection. It could be an yep. array. It could be,
yeah.
can actually just be a simple data. It can be a string.
Yep.
So it's just something that the controller is passing to the view. So then, the view is what represents that data. So we've got, you know, a controller action did something. It created some data. And now we actually want to return, show something on the user screen.
Right.
And so the view's job is to take that data, to take that model information, and turn it into HTML.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it does. So the really important thing here is they call it separation of concerns. So the idea is that the controller has no idea about how to display HTML. It doesn't even know it's displaying HTML. It could be displaying some other
exactly.
content type or whatever.
Yeah, it could be returning JSON.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
So, and then the model is just some data. It really doesn't have any logic.
Right.
You can put validation logic in them and stuff, but mm-hmm. generally models don't know where they came from and they don't know where they're going.
Yep.
They're just kind of like me. I just wander around, right? And then the view is it has no logic really in it. You want
right.
your views to just have HTML and just say, here's my model information. It's a template system.
Exactly. Yeah, that one big thing that I always like to kind of mention is if you're putting an if statement into your view, and we'll talk a little bit about coding into your views and so forth, but I always like to say if you're putting an if statement into your view, you might be doing the wrong thing, that it's a code smell, to quote Martin Fowler from the book Refactoring. It's a code smell. It's not necessarily a 100% indication that, hey, you've done something bad, but it's one of those where it could indicate.
Hmm. Yeah. It's a smell off to you.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yep. That just like you mentioned before, with a view, we really want that to just display the data. So let the controller do the logic. Let the controller figure out, oh, hey, wait, we need to display an item not found page as opposed to putting that logic inside that view, which bringing it all the way back to those moving parts, you'll notice that separation of concern. So the controller takes the request. It does stuff. It's going to get the data that the user's going to need. That data is going to be inside the model. The model is combined with the view. The view handles the display. And then out the door it goes.
Great. Yep. And so that's the last thing on my slide here is the out the door it goes, right?
Yep.
So
that's the technical way to describe
right,
it.
Right, exactly.
Out the door it goes.
Let me see if I can do this. If I do maybe say a laser pointer, is that going to work? Yeah. So I'm.
Ooh.
We're
going high tech here.
So, right. So we've got this whole kind of flow. The request comes in, goes to the controller. Controller runs the logic, the packages, creates the view. The templating system turns that model data into HTML and the out comes the response. So the question is, where is all the code? And you know, the view, like you said, the view is really supposed to be lightweight, just make HTML.
Exactly. Yep.
The model just holds data. So mm-hmm. then my natural conclusion when I started doing this is like, well, of course, all my code goes in my controller.
Right.
So just like I used to do with web forms, I'm going to throw all my code in my controller. and you'll learn very soon. We'll talk about some best practices. That's not where you want to do it either.
Right.
So an important thing that I want to point out is this is not your whole application here.
No.
This is the flow of MVC. And
yep.
then good coding patterns say that your controller is going to call off to some services.
Exactly.
You're going to have some data access classes. You're going to have all these other things. So this is the request response part.
Mm-hmm.
And then you build out your application on top of that.
Right. Exactly.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's my big diagram. I think we're getting... Okay, so now let's talk about why.
Yeah, exactly. Right. We've got all of this going on. We've got all these different moving parts. You know, web forms, it was simple. I just drag and I drop and away I go. Why did we have to do this? Why did we have to change all this?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, web forms or like WordPress or whatever, right? You know, why can't I just drop in a plugin or something? So, here are some reasons I came up with. And these are things that I, you know, having done web forms and classic ASP and little PHP before doing, before starting on MVC, these are some advantages that I found when I started working with MVC. Mm-hmm. So one is, it's very easy to, as you start building, it's very easy to drag and drop something and get started.
Right.
6 months later or a year later, you've got a big mess, right?
Yes.
And so you really need some structure in your application.
Right, yep.
And the ways that we've done this in places I've worked is, you know, maybe the architects wrote up this huge standards document, you know, and said all data access needs to go through our DLL and we'll present, you know, or people said you need to have a separate project for your business logic and a separate project for this and that, you know, or, you know, any other type of web dev platform, the same sort of thing. You end up running on some framework, CakePHP or whatever it is, you know, or you end up, you know, building up, okay, all my stuff here goes over in this folder and stuff. But it takes some work to build some structure. MVC gives you that structure right from the beginning.
Exactly.
So that's, you know, I guess point one and point two are really the same thing.
Yeah.
You start to finish, you've got kind of a basic structure.
Right. That MVC lends itself so much better to a well-structured application than web forms does. Mm-hmm. You know, that with web forms, it just becomes so easy just to drag out a button, double-click on it, and then write three pages of code. And it's not to say that you can't write bad code in MVC. You absolutely can, but it lends itself that much better to writing good code.
Yep. And, you know, as we're comparing and contrasting, we're really doing it from the point of view of setting, you know, explaining why. What's the point of MVC?
Yep.
As you said, you can write bad code in MVC. You can also write fabulous, amazing code in web forms.
Absolutely.
Or any other thing, any other framework as well, right? So our point is not to bash on other things. It's really to kind of say, explain why MVC works the way it does.
Right. Yep.
So with MVC, you know, you often will find that you've got more classes and more methods, but tiny bits of code in them. And so, like, for instance, your controller actions will often have two or three lines of code because they're just calling off to a common service.
Yep.
So you end up, by breaking things apart, you actually end up with less code because you've got less conditional logic and less, you know, all this kind of mapping things back and forth.
Exactly.
And all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
And then finally, you have kind of a very smooth learning curve. So what I found, and I'll get with web forms again, it's very easy to do file new project, start setting things up, you know, set up my master page, start dragging grid views in, start, you know, hooking up data. As things get more difficult, then I run into some tough challenges where it's like, how do these two controls work together? Or I need some abstraction here because, you know, my data needs to do something before it hits this, or, you know, this control just doesn't do what I need to do. Now I need to write my own server control. That's hard. Or,
you know, yeah, exactly.
or you know, I need to dig into membership and that, you know, like how does that interact with my controls? So the idea is that there is more work in starting with MVC. Not a lot.
Right.
But there's a little bit of ramp up.
Yep.
But the point is that it's worth it.
Yep.
So trust us, it's worth it. I had a great opportunity, and you almost never get this opportunity, to write the same application in two different frameworks.
I'm not kidding. Okay.
So I had, this was for a for some Microsoft conferences. Before I joined Microsoft, we built some conference websites. We built one in web forms, worked great, you know, it was highly scalable. And then we needed to do some updates, and there were some internal changes that were big enough on how we were getting data and things. We said, we're going to redo this using MVC. And it was really interesting to see the places where things like being able to control our URLs, being able to centralize our data access, and just we ended up, the getting started took a little more thought with MVC, but the end of the project was smooth. Whereas with web forms, we ended up, the end of the project was, oh shoot, how are we going to make this work?
Right.
So that's kind of a, you know, that smooth ramp, you know.
And that is one of those things that I found personally as well, is anytime that changes were needed, it's always so much easier to go into MVC mm-hmm. and update all of that than it is in web forms.
Yep.
Because after all, the only constant in software development is change.
Right, right. So just a few more things specifically on web forms. So some of the values that you've got in web forms is the idea of, you know, it's very quick to get going. You're using controls that create your HTML, JavaScript, and CSS. And so you're not directly writing that. You can, but you're not directly writing, you're responsible for that HTML, JavaScript, and CSS. So the controls are doing that for you. And the controls often are handling browser differences as well. Not as important now that browser standards have really kind of kicked in, but previously the controls were doing a lot of,
right.
You know, is this a down-level browser, or is this sort of browser, and that
yep.
kind of thing. So WebForms handles a lot of things for you. Here's the problem with that. In order to handle all those things for you, I don't know if you've seen, if you're an experienced WebForms dev, you've probably seen this diagram or something like it. You're not going to be able to read it on this slide. That's not the point. The point is there's all
Don't worry, we can't read it on this slide either. So yeah, so the fact that you can't read it, don't worry about that. That's really not the point.
The point is that there's this life cycle. There's this thing. Okay, we're going to, you know, pre-page this, pre-render view state, pre-whatever it is, and we have to load up the state of what everything's in, understand what all the control state is.
Exactly.
Do some processing, and each control has to jump in their turn, et cetera.
Yep.
So here's the problem with that. We, you know, you've got your one page that has your default, you know, that's running all these events.
And that's just one page.
That's one page. But even in that one page, there's actually three different sets of events going on, because you've got your master page.
Mm-hmm.
And that's handling all your common site layout.
Yep.
And then you've got your page itself. And yep. that page is running user controls as well.
Yep.
Right. So this is getting a little more complex. But
So just to kind of sum all that up, that's one page. We've got products ASPX, but yet there's three sets of life cycles there, because there's one for the master page to set up all the structure. There's one for the page itself. And then if you have a user control on top of all of that, you've got that. So you've got all of those different events that you have to potentially go in and capture. And not to sort of give something away, but there's also the matter of trying to name all the different
yeah.
controls. We'll get to that in a second here.
Yep, yep.
But yeah, there's so many different moving parts here.
Right.
Just for one page.
And this is one page. And then again, your site has multiple pages, right?
Yeah.
Probably.
It does.
I'm just going to yep. guess that your site has more than one page in it.
Yep.
So that's one issue that you can run into that makes things more complex. Another thing is that in web forms, this is view state, our friend view state. And the reason to show this here, you can... the way that these controls work is they're handling state for you. They're remembering what happened between, you know, I load something up, I fill something out on a form, I populate a grid, I send it back to the user sends it, we send the information back and forth.
Yep.
And those controls are making it seem as if that state was persistent.
Exactly.
Even though the web is not persistent at all. It's
right.
Every time you talk to a server, it's like, who are you again, right?
One of the things I always like to say is that there's no magic in fill in the blank. So
yeah.
There's no magic in web forms. The fact that you're able to drag and drop that control and poof, hey, look, it's displaying data. There's still a lot of work that's being done behind the scenes. Even though you're not necessarily seeing the code nor writing the code, there's still a lot that's being done to make all of that happen.
Right. And then one last thing, and I'm really not trying to beat a dead horse because I'm a fan of web forms, but I want to point out, these are just some things, if you're very familiar with web forms, this is another thing that that can be an issue, is since it's generating your HTML for you, you don't have controls, you don't have as direct control over the IDs and classes. Now, all of these things are fixable in web forms. If you're an experienced web forms dev, you're gritting your teeth because you're saying, wait a minute, I can control view state. There's switches, there's
yep.
very specific controls over this. There are very specific controls over, I can change my HTML markup. And I can, you know, I can, well, handling the events, that's something that I've, you know, kind of learned. I've got my own structure, et cetera. It's true. But these are all
yep.
things that you have to solve. These are problems you need to solve in some different, you know, they're things that you need to go and do specifically. So these are all things that MVC was designed to handle for, you know, to handle differently, to
right.
get rid of these problems, right? One other really important thing with MVC is that it's designed for testability. So the idea is unit testing is a it's just the practice of testing your code in code.
Right.
Right. And the point is, when you go in and make a change, it's easy to write some code and make mm-hmm. it work. And, yep. and then you say, I'm done. Woohoo.
Right.
That code lives on. And later, someone might need to fix a bug,
yep.
you know, or change some functionality. And then what happens?
Right. right.
And so the whole idea is, I think of unit tests as a safety net. They are
a seatbelt.
A seatbelt, exactly.
Yeah.
So the idea is, I would like to go in and change some code that maybe I wrote a month ago or a year ago, mm-hmm. or somebody, you wrote it, who knows who wrote
right.
it. I want to go in and change this code, and I want to make sure that I didn't break everything.
Yep.
That's all a unit test is.
That's it.
So it's a few lines of code that verify behavior. They verify that what comes in does some things. What's the expected result?
And let's sort of compare and contrast how that's done quite typically with developers that maybe haven't done unit testing in the past. Is you sit down, you create something, you go, oh, I want to confirm that this works. Well, what are you going to do? You're then going to write just enough code to like test it inside of a page. So you'll go in, you'll create the view, let's say, and then you'll go ahead and fire up in your browser. You'll throw a couple of silly little values at it. You'll see, oh, look, I got an error message, or oh, look, I got the value that I was expecting, and then you delete that, and then you move on. Mm-hmm. And that's not, it, not only is that A, not overly effective, but B, it just as John mentioned, it's not going to live on. So when it does come time to make a change, or it does come time to fix a bug, how are you going to know that what you actually did works, mm-hmm. unless you go back through that process again and again and again. With unit testing, test-driven development, all of that is automated. So if you're not already doing it, it's absolutely something that you need to consider doing, and don't underestimate the power of unit testing, of test-driven development.
Yep. And, you know, this is something where, you know, my first introduction to testing was, we had a big QA department. And we would work on something for a while, and then QA would start testing it, and they would find a bunch of bugs. And then we would, you know, finally resolve enough of their bugs that they were happy with it. They'd sign off, and then we'd ship mm-hmm. the feature. And then we'd add new features in. But did those features break some other features across on some other part of the application? Maybe QA is going to catch it. Maybe they're not, right? And so the
right.
problem is that software is very interconnected, and changing one place may have a lot of effects that we're not thinking of. And unit tests live on, as you're saying. And so I can run my unit test suite later, and boom, everything's good.
Exactly. Not to, and this will, I guess, sort of be the last little thing. Otherwise, yeah. we could talk test-driven development for
yes.
the rest of the day. But in any event, the one last little thing that's worth mentioning is that when you do go in and create those unit tests, because they do live on, you want them to be production-level code. You want them to be artifacts. That is something that you are going to generate. So that way you can, when you go to make those changes, go back to those unit tests. And that's a quick way to see, hey, look, I made a change over here. In theory, that shouldn't be related to anything that I'm doing over here. But, you know, how many times has this happened? Even though in theory they shouldn't be related, all of a sudden you find out that something happened, and now that they are. With unit tests, it's very easy for me to pick that up.
Mm-hmm. So, as Christopher said, unfortunately, we're not able to. This is an introduction to MVC, and we're focusing specifically
right.
on developing MVC code.
Yep.
I'm not sure if we have MVA courses on unit testing, but that would be a very interesting course if not. There is a lot of good information also on the ASP.NET site and on MSDN
yep.
on unit testing.
Yeah.
But the point is that MVC is designed so that it's not hard to unit test.
Exactly.
Because everything is written, it's very separated out,
mm-hmm.
because a controller, you know, has specific input and output, and
yep.
doesn't create HTML, and it doesn't interact with, you know, the browser directly, and the view, you know, we can go in and we can test everything
exactly.
in isolation.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And we'll continue to dig into that as we go forward.
Great.
Yep.
Okay, I think it's time for some actual code.
Yeah, let's actually do something. You know, we've been talking an awful lot.
Right, exactly. So, but the point is, you know, we want to kind of set the beginnings. We want to talk about what we're talking about, right?
So. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And all of that was important. I found it interesting. I hope everybody else did.
I think it's good stuff. All right, so here, let me, if I'm not doing this, I'm going to end my slideshow. I'm going to switch over to Visual Studio. Are we on my desktop?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, remember you have to escape out of the slide.
Oh, it's
been a little while since we've done this. Yeah, go back to PowerPoint. Yeah, and escape out.
Escape.
Oh.
Yep.
Please stand by. So in the meantime, the whole goal of all of this is really to make this, again, more code-focused. And whenever I'm talking to web form developers, one of the things that I find is that they do sort of look sideways at me. Like, hey, why do we want to make this code-focused? Why not keep just using the drag and drop? Why not keep using that WYSIWYG? But by making it code-focused, again, it allows you to have that good separation of concern. It allows you to really kind of better scale this, better handle changes. And then also, it does help make it testable. That one of the big things we'll be highlighting a little bit later is that at the end of the day, all that a model is it's a class. And all that a controller is it's a class. And classes are always testable. So that is going to make your life in the long run that much easier.
Yep.
All right. I do believe we've got a desktop now.
We do have a desktop.
Excellent.
And thank you for hanging in with us. This is the morning. We're all getting started.
Exactly.
Our computers are getting their coffee. We're getting our coffee. We're all good, though. Okay. So I'm going to create a new web application.
Yep.
So I'm going to go file, new project, and I would like to create web.
Make sure
and
you
I'm going to go with,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be coding in C Sharp today. That is good to know if you are a VB developer. All this stuff works. You can go, web, and you can code away in Visual Basic as well.
Yep.
So here I'm creating a new web application. Here's an important thing if you are go ahead.
No, I was going to let you. I don't want to steal your thunder. Go for it.
Well,
if you weren't going to mention it, I was going to mention
it. Yeah, if you've been coding in ASP.NET before, we used to give you a lot of choices when you did a new web application.
Yep.
So you had to say, well, am I going to create MVC or web forms today?
Right.
And what we've done now with 2013 is this is one ASP.NET.
Yep.
So we're going to create an ASP.NET application.
Exactly. And one of the things while John in the background here is typing in his little project name, and he's going to hit OK here in just a second, one of the big things that I want to highlight, because this goes to a question that we got asked in the chat window, is, hey, is it possible to have both MVC and web forms inside the exact same project? Well, there's your answer to that question.
Yep.
You'll notice right down towards the very bottom that you've got checkboxes. So right there, you've got web forms and web API, so that way you can just simply choose, oh yes, I am going to need this, or I am going to need this, which in particular, if you are making the move from web forms into MVC, and you're going, well, we've got a lot of existing code, we don't necessarily want to go back and rewrite it, but we want to do some new stuff in MVC, there you go.
Yeah.
I think I stole your thunder there.
No, this is great. So the idea, that's exactly it. And I'm glad someone asked the question. You know,
yes.
It's great.
Yep.
So the point is, now you have these choices. Instead, so I picture this in my head as the difference between options and choices.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes a choice can force you into something.
Right.
I like to have options.
Absolutely.
So for instance, going to dinner last night, we went to dinner and we got hamburgers.
Yep.
And that was great, but I don't want to have to say, you know, what do you want to eat for dinner for the rest of your life? You know, because I might not want a hamburger every single night.
Maybe some spaghetti.
Maybe some spaghetti from
there
time to
go.
Time. So, a little bit of an Easter egg for those who were at our last MVA.
Exactly.
So I would like to be able to say, well, I would like to start with MVC, but sometimes I'm going to be using some web forms, and sometimes I'll also be using some web API, right? So the idea here is, you know, I can say I would like an empty project, but throw in some web API and some web forms for me.
Yep.
Or I would like, you know, web forms, but I also want support for MVC. What's also nice is, after I've made these choices, let's say I start out and I say, nope, I'm good with just web forms. And a month later, I say, I want to use some MVC. You can also, when you bring in scaffolding in here, it'll automatically pull in the MVC stuff for you.
Absolutely. I do want to interrupt you for 2 seconds, only because we got a great question, which was, hey, can we use, say, for example, the same authentication mechanism for MVC and for web forms in that same project? And the answer to that question is, yes.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, it's all ASP.NET.
Right. So excellent. So if we here is the same, you know, new project page. So here, if I say change authentication, and we're going to be looking at this in our and our last or second to last session today, but this is the exact same dialogue here, setting up different authentication accounts and all that, exact same thing, whether you click this or this.
Yep. Right?
And what's nice is. It's several things. One is your skills transfer across. So you're really good with ASP.NET Identity and MVC, and then you go to help your friend on a WebForms project, it all moves across well.
Yep.
Also, if I have one application and I've got mostly WebForms but a few MVC controllers in there, no problem. They all speak the same language there.
Exactly.
So that's great. So I'm going to click an MVC application.
Hold on one second, only because, do me a favor, zoom in on that bottom right corner.
Yep.
You took the check away real quick, but this is something that we really should highlight.
Yeah.
That Windows Azure, that host in the cloud. One of the things, unfortunately, that we're not going to have time for, we're trying to make this an intro course, so you really do wind up having to pick and choose the different things that you demo, and unfortunately, we're not going to have the opportunity to demo deployment today. But since we've got the screen here, it's still worth highlighting real quickly is you'll notice the integration now with Azure and Visual Studio, that all that you would have to do is just put a little check next to host in the cloud.
Yep.
When you hit OK, it will then ask you, hey, do you want to go ahead and use an existing website? Do you want to create a brand new one? How about your database? And do all of that right through Visual Studio. And then that way, rather than having to go to the browser, create the website, download the publish file, you can do that just by putting a check right there, which is wonderful.
Yep. And one place this really is helpful is a lot of the time if you're starting a project and you're working on a team, two or three developers or maybe a big group, one of the first things you'll need to do is set up a database, right?
Yep.
And so then, you know, part of your first day is setting up the project, creating the database, and getting everyone set up on it. One nice thing here is by checking the box, everyone on my team that's working on this project automatically can connect to that database. It's already provisioned up on the cloud. I don't have to go to IT and say, please spin up a database for me.
Exactly.
It's already, and this is a local, it's a database that's, you know, it's hosted for me.
Yep.
And if you've got MSDN benefits especially, you've got free SQL. And as well, anybody, when you create a new website, an Azure website.
Yep.
That includes a 20 megabyte, I believe, SQL database.
For free.
For free.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it's great for, you know, getting started and sample data and all that.
And there is also a free website as well that if you're just looking to do kind of basic stuff, it's a great way to go ahead and start integrating the cloud today with essentially no money down.
Right. Exactly. So one other thing I'm going to do, and we're not going to dig into it more, but I want to check this add unit test box. And I'm recommending, in general, just check this box. It'll set you up so that it's not hard to write a unit test. Because part of the thing with unit testing is, if you have one test, that's a heck of a lot better than no tests, right?
Right.
And so you don't have to, by checking, by, you know, getting started and putting in a few unit tests, maybe if a big, you know, difficult bug report comes in and you solve this, write a unit test that verifies that bug is fixed.
Yep.
And it's great. So just checking this box makes it easier to just kind of get started down that path.
Exactly.
So it's not a big deal. Just check the box and you kind of get started in the right direction, right? So I want to point out one thing that's going on here, and that is, as this application is spinning up, that went by pretty quickly, but I'm pointing out in the taskbar there that it is adding a bunch of NuGet packages.
Right.
So in the past, when we created a new project, it was actually just unzipping some files that you had locally. Now it's installing a bunch of NuGet packages. And NuGet is the package management system for .NET.
Right.
And what that does is it allows for, you know, easily breaking things apart, putting things together, adding new capabilities to your application.
Exactly.
Handling dependencies, all that kind of stuff.
And the biggest thing that NuGet does, because a lot of times people look at NuGet and go, well, why not just simply create references to DLLs? Well, two things that NuGet can do for you. Number one is go beyond DLLs, that it can set up JavaScript files and CSS files and the other things that you're going to need. But also number two is that NuGet, just like John mentioned, can detect dependencies, that it can go, well, wait a minute, you're wanting to install this package. This package depends on this and this. Let me automatically go ahead and grab those for you, making sure that you've got everything that you need. And then right there on the slide, John is highlighting a whole bunch of the different NuGet packages that are out there.
Yep. So what I wanted to do here is just to point out what you're saying. These are the NuGet packages that are installed in your application. As an example, jQuery is not a DLL. It's JavaScript. But jQuery validation depends on the jQuery library.
Exactly. Yep.
And so what that's going to do is it's going to say, okay, because you've got the jQuery validation, I'm going to make sure that you've got jQuery installed and the right versions for that. And you'll notice support for MVC is brought in as a NuGet package.
Yep.
So the point is, if you've got a WebForms application, you can bring in MVC into your WebForms project, and it's actually just installing a NuGet package for you. One of the things I wanted to point out, first of all, getting started, this is your, when you do file new project, this is a really handy page to know about. So this tells you a lot of kind of what to do next stuff.
Yep.
So this is actually very useful, and I recommend file new project and click through this, and it's a good start.
It is a good start, because one of the things, unfortunately, in the past is that a lot of times that start screen came up, and we all just sort of got into the habit of ignoring it, because there wasn't necessarily a lot of great information on there. That's changed. There really is a lot of wonderful information that's on this screen. And on the deploy, like the ensure your app is ready for production, make sure that you read through that, that there's a lot of little things that people frequently miss.
Yep. All right, so let's take a look at what actually was created in our app here.
Yep.
So an important thing to getting started is understanding the directory structure.
Right.
So we have we're talking MVC today, we have models,
yep.
we have views, and we have controllers. Right.
Wow. That was clever naming. Model view. Okay, all right. I'm still with you. Excellent.
Now, I'm actually trying to get it renamed because we've also got scripts and content. So I want to MVC, SC, I don't know. I'm working on it. But the point is, we were talking earlier about one of the advantages of MVC is kind of giving you some structure off the bat.
Right.
This is that structure, right? So if we're looking at, you know, where is a controller? If maybe we're working on an application together and you say, hey, fix something in the home controller, well, I know where that's going to be.
Right.
Okay. And we talked about controllers are just classes and with methods in them, action methods. We'll dig into all this in much more detail later. We're just kind of showing you around right now.
Right. Yeah. This just giving you the nickel tour, as it were.
So here is a controller, right?
Which is a class.
It's a class.
You'll notice public class home controller. Now, it inherits from controller, but it's a class.
Yep.
That's it. It's a class.
And that controller just kind of makes it easier to includes some behaviors for you and stuff.
Yep.
But really, it stays out of your way for the most part. You have a class, and then you create methods on it, and this is an action method. So when somebody calls into a controller, this action method is actually what's going to spin up.
Yep.
Then models is where we will put our models. We've got a whole class about this later. There are actually some at the very beginning of as you create your application, because your user identity is actually stored using this whole kind of system. And
right.
See, this is a model.
Yep.
And so that is your identity model there. And then finally, your views. And it's important to understand there's these conventions that map where things go. So if I am in the home controller and I go to the index method and I say return view, well, which view, right? And this is where conventions kick in and say, if I am on the home controller and I'm looking for the index method's view, then let's find that. Let's just kind of look around. Well, if we go in views, there's a home directory that matches to the home controller. And there is an index view. And so just because of those names match, that's how it finds it.
Yep.
So, and we're short on time here, so we're not really going to dig into this in detail.
Right.
But I just want to actually, you know, if I say, this is my home view, and I say, intro to MVC on MVA, right?
Yep.
So I've edited the title, and then I say, MVC is fun. Right? So here I've edited some HTML.
With three exclamation
points. Absolutely.
Yes.
It's a lot of fun, right? So and the controller, so when I browse to this site, mm-hmm. the home controller is the thing that spins up. It's yep. going to say return view.
Yep.
And that view is going to return the index. So yep. let's just run that. You got to actually, like, if I'm going to create a project, we actually need to see something on the screen.
Absolutely.
And I think at that point, then, after we see this mm-hmm. spin up with our glorious new page showing us how much fun MVC is, I think we're ready to take a break.
Do me one real quick favor, yep. though, just since it's on your screen. Do me a favor, maximize that browser real quick for me.
Yep.
Yep. There we go. And what I want to highlight on John's screen real quick is you'll notice now down towards the bottom is mm-hmm. three columns. Go ahead and restore your screen again. To there we go. And now you'll notice when he goes in and resizes his browser, now it's down to one column. One of the big questions that has come up a couple of times in the chat window has mm-hmm. been about setting up for mobile. This is a little thing called Bootstrap. We're actually going to have a full module on yeah. Bootstrap, which I'm very excited about. But one of the big goals of Bootstrap is doing this type of dynamic resizing. And this isn't to say that you're not necessarily still going to need to go in and create views for specific device types. You still very well might.
Right.
This does eliminate a lot of that need, however, that this will automatically scale based on the device type. So it makes it that much easier to program for mobile devices.
Yeah. And this yep. is great because this is all done using CSS. It isn't
exactly.
It isn't on the server. There's no code to detect that it's
right.
a mobile browser.
Yep.
There's no JavaScript code. This is all just done using CSS. So it's
yep.
it's not going to break when some new phone comes out that it doesn't know about, et cetera. It's all done just based on how wide the screen is.
Yep.
So okay. So let's talk about what we've covered here. We've done, you know, we've talked about what MVC is.
Yep.
We've talked about why you should care.
Yep.
And then we've done just the very quick file new project, what's involved in creating a new project.
Yep.
And we've looked at, you know, controllers, where the controllers go.
Yep.
We've looked at a controller returning a view. And actually, an important thing to notice there is this controller didn't have any model data to
right.
send to the view.
Nope.
So in this case, the model wasn't there.
Right.
Right.
It just simply displayed a page.
So that is the very, very simple case.
It does.
Okay.
Yep.
So we'll take a 10-minute break. And then we'll be coming back, and we'll be talking specifically about controllers in more detail.
and we'll have.
I have a burger!
Yay!
All right. Well.
All right.
I'm going to enjoy this delicious burger if they'll bring it back for me, and have a great break. We'll see you in 10.
We'll see you in 10.